Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Going to track down our pal Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post here shortly. Of course, he was doing Crashing the Net last night. I actually heard him get perturbed because I think somebody called in to criticize Ovechkin's passing.
Okay.
And what Neil Greenberg said, and he's joining us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, was that he's one of the best passers ever. And Ovechkin had a really solid game. Neil, I don't know if you heard me talking it up, but I was listening to Crashing the Net, and you actually got a little upset with some of the callers there bashing Ovi, right?
Yeah, the call that sent me over the edge, like you said, was someone said that Ovechkin was a terrible passer, and the exact opposite is true. He's probably one of the most underrated passers in the game. He makes passes that are really crisp and on point and does a lot of good things on the ice. Part of me thinks it was just a little bit of frustration on Caps fans that they were looking at a 2-1 deficit, but I would say we took two or three calls that bashed Ovechkin last night. We probably had another four that were ready to go that we just didn't get to. It's amazing to me. I don't understand it.
It's just frustration.
Neil, your tweet from 9 hours ago got me giddy. I just retweeted it, at N. Greenberg. The Caps team we saw tonight could go far in the playoffs. And that's not just from some wacky homer that's watching. This is from somebody who's analytical and watches every single Caps game. Why were you so encouraged last night?
Well, because this was the game where everyone looks at a period or everyone looks at a couple plays or a shift and says, if they can play like that for 60 minutes, they would be really, really good. And that's what we saw last night. For the first time in I don't know how long, we saw a Caps team that not only played well, but kept their foot on the gas and didn't let up at any point with a one-goal lead, with a two-goal lead, with a three-goal lead. And that's something, that's the hallmark of what good teams do. Look at what we're seeing from Pittsburgh. I mean, they're running up the score 7-0, 7-1. Boston's putting the sticks to their opponents. I mean, the Knights swept. So this is what good teams do. And I think that what we saw last night, from the goaltenders to the defense to the forwards to everybody, it was probably, and this isn't hyperbole, it was probably one of the top three games in the Alex Ovechkin era, in terms of from the time the puck dropped to the time they got off the ice, that they were just a dominating team from start to finish.
Neil, on a side note, in the Pens Flyers series, is it just that the Pens offense is clicking at the right time, or Elliott's been so bad in net for Philadelphia? Or just
a little bit of both. I mean, this, you know, in the first game, the Penguins had two quick goals. They had six players with points on those goals. None of them were Crosby, Malkin, or Kessel. And then Crosby went on to get the natural. So this is obviously a very, very talented team in Pittsburgh. Philadelphia Flyers have had a tough time getting a goaltender to stick. It's not unlike the quarterback situation we've seen in Cleveland, where it's almost a revolving door of sorts of misery. So I think it's a little bit of both, but this Pittsburgh team is always going to be dangerous in the playoffs. They're very, very deep in terms of scoring. They got some defensive players that can make plays. So if I had to pick, it would be Pittsburgh is doing what they do. But Philadelphia hasn't looked great.
Neil, the Ovi-Kuzi-Wilson line was a monster last night. 7 points in that game alone. Tom Wilson must have gotten the message that he was a ghost, that he was invisible in the first two games. No shots on goal. He's had 13 in the last two. Are we going to see more of that going forward from Wilson especially?
We should. I would even take it a step further and say the best performance of the night from that line was holding Panarin to just one shot on net. That, right, that to me is much more indicative of how well they played, because that's been the guy that's tough to neutralize, and they were able to do it. He had one shot on net. He had just two scoring chances, two penalties. I mean, this is – if you can take him out of the equation, then you can see how much more good stuff you could do on the ice. But, yeah, Tom Wilson definitely seems to have received the message, and he's playing much more – like the guy we saw when he was put on the top line with Ovechkin and Backstrom back in November, kind of morphing into this fourth line pugilist to this first line driver. And that too can be, you know, I hate to use the term X factor, but he can certainly be a difference maker in these next three games of the series if it goes that far.
Well, you know, this is what they're capable of, Neil. I mean, this is, they've had plenty of games in the regular season where they dominated teams and from start to finish, and that's what this was. And now it's all square, and it's best two out of three. Got two at home. You know, a lot of people believe there's no carryover, or do you believe there will be a carryover in Game 5?
Well, that's the problem, right? That's the million-dollar question, and that's what makes this team so hard to handicap in terms of what their true talent is. I do think that there could be carryover because the lines are set, and they've done this in spurts before, and this is the first time that they've really kind of put it all together. But it's still fair to be skeptical. I mean, it's still fair to wonder, you know, is this just an aberration, or did something finally click? Did Barry Trotz find some formula in terms of his lines? I do think that the Capitals will win this series. I've always felt that. I thought that they would win in six. I really have no reason to change that belief at this point. I was a little bit nervous, obviously, when they were down 0-2, but I do think that they're the better team. I do think that they should be able to move past the Blue Jackets in the first round, and I do think that they're more than capable of winning two out of three games, especially with two games at home. My only concern, like most people, is if that does happen, you know, how do they deal with Pittsburgh? But we'll worry about that if and when it happens.
Mm-hmm. Joined by Neil Greenberg, co-host of Crashing the Net with Tom Daly here on 106.7 The Fan, writes the Fancy Stats blog for the Washington Post. John Carlson, 8 points through four playoff games. Am I naive in thinking maybe there's a chance he'll give the hometown discount and do what Lars Eller did and not really take the free agency tour? But I think the money's just going to be so big for him as he's a free agent after this season. What's your take on Carlson's looming free agency?
No chance for a hometown discount. The window's too small to maximize your money in the NHL.
Yeah.
I do think that Washington's going to do everything they can to re-sign him. He's a guy that is, you know, talk about right place, right time. He's peaking at the right time. He's having his most productive season at the right time. And there aren't a lot of free agent defensemen that can soak up 20, 25 minutes a night. So I do think that he's going to get quite a bit of money. My guess is Washington can pony up the money to keep him, and it looks like they've been trying to angle towards that over the past year or so in terms of their contracts and their salary cap situation. But I don't think there's any chance that he takes a hometown discount.
You know, Neil, I think that, and we talked about this earlier, the way they played last night and the way they played in Game 3, I just think that there's a new kind of a newfound confidence because Holtby's back there. And I think that kind of trickles down. You know, when you have a guy in net that you know can stop shots, who's going to stop, you know, 95% of the shots, or if not higher, then you know, that kind of trickles down to the rest of the team, and maybe they're more at ease. That's what I found. That's what I saw the last couple games.
Yeah, but I didn't see a team that was at ease. I saw a team playing with a sense of urgency for the first time in a long time. You know, I actually, and not just to disagree, I actually thought the opposite, that having Holtby and Nett was part of the reason why the team was a little bit lackadaisical, because they felt like, you know what, we have a Vezina Trophy winner back there, he can make the saves. But you're right, in terms of the playoffs over the past couple games, Holtby looks dialed in. And having a goal, you know, look, we've seen what happens with a hot goaltender on the other side of the ice, what it does to Washington. Mm-hmm. But if Braden Holtby can obviously play the way that he did, and you have everybody doing what they're supposed to be doing at a high level, that's what I meant by the tweet. This team is going to be difficult to stop. we probably need to see at least one more game before I'm ready to say, you know what, things are going in the right direction and maybe the switch has been flipped. But, you know, what you saw last night, down 2-1, Ovechkin guarantee, all the pressure in the world on this team, and they came out and they answered the bell. And that's really all you can ask from them at this point. Now let's see what they do in game four. Five.
Yep. Neil, have you watched many of the Penguins games?
I've dipped in and out. It's been a little bit difficult for me with everything else that's been going on, but I've been catching up with them on the recaps and things of that nature.
Because it just seems scary as a fan to see these scores of the Penguins just overwhelming their opponent.
Yeah, I mean, it's 7-0, 5-1, 5-1, 5-0, and that's going to be scary for anybody. I mean, who before the playoffs started, you know, no one wanted to really face Pittsburgh because they're Pittsburgh. But then you just look at what they've been doing. I mean, it's a dismantling. And, you know, last night, five goals, you know, in the shutout. That's scary stuff. And you had Malkin with the goal, Kessel, Chris Letang, obviously Crosby, and then Riley Sheehan for a good measure. This is a team that gets primary scoring, secondary scoring, and tertiary scoring from their forwards and their defense. Every team has to be worried about them. It doesn't matter who they are.
Neil, do you think Grubauer's played his last game in a Caps uniform? He's an RFA at the end of the year.
Yeah, I've always felt, even when he was the starter, I always felt that this was going to be his last season because you kind of committed to Holtby, and a backup goalie has little value on the team from a long-term perspective. So I think that him being an RFA is still under control. The Caps can then trade him and get some assets back. They can sign pretty much any backup goalie. I don't really think that matters too much. I never expected Grubauer to be here long-term, even when he was anointed the starter late in the season.
Three game fives tonight. Flyers, Pens in Pittsburgh, Wild Jets in Winnipeg, and then the Avalanche are in Nashville. Do you expect to see, you know, at least two closeouts tonight?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Probably three for three. I don't think Winnipeg is going to do much in terms of let Minnesota back in. Nashville is good. I was never a big fan of the way Colorado was. And then, like you said, Pittsburgh. It wouldn't surprise me if Pittsburgh just decided to make a statement and close it out 10-0.
Yeah.
You know, Neil, I love seeing Philip Forsberg score highlight reel goals all the time for the Preds. It's really awesome as a Caps fan.
Yeah, that's the kick in the nads, right? Yeah. I mean, you can always go. You can always go back and say what if but I think the biggest challenge is not that he's good, but that he's super good, and he looks so effortless doing that. And like you said, almost any goal he scores tends to be on the highlight reel. If he's not in Nashville, he's not to take anything away from Nashville and Nashville hockey market, which is great, but if he's on the East Coast team or one of these quote-unquote original six teams or just a team that's in has a little bit higher profile, I think that he would be a megastar in the NHL at this point. Right now, he's just a superstar in Nashville, which is amazing.
I'll tell you what, and they got a great deal. I just looked at his contract. He signed a six-year, $36 million deal. It looks like last year?
Yeah.
I would think that he would be making a lot more than that.
Well, hockey, you know, it's not lucrative like it is in the other sports. You look at Nicklas Backstrom. I want to say Nicklas Backstrom's deal is – well, he signed that $6.5 million deal over 10 years, and that's one of the better bargains in the NHL. I think what NHL teams are doing is they're offering these younger kids, they're foregoing what they call the bridge contract. Typically, you saw the entry-level contract, like a two-year deal like P.K. Subban got, and then the big mega deal after that. I think what they're doing is they're offering these kids the second deal a little bit bigger, a little bit longer to give them security, but also to get a little bit of a discount. I think that's how you get a quote-unquote hometown discount in this salary cap era, is by foregoing that bridge deal, offering them a little bit more term, a little bit more stability, and get the cap hit down.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, Neil, thanks as always for joining us. Of course, you can
listen
to him here on
106.7
The Fan.
Yeah, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Neil.
Hosts Crashing the Net with Tom Daly, of course, also writes the Fancy Stats blog. for the Washington Post.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the show. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Happy to welcome in a DC icon, a guy who had his numbers hung up in the rafters of Capital One Arena just a few weeks ago. Phil Chenier, Wiz analyst for NBC Sports Washington, joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing great. By the way, congratulations. Get the jersey up there and everything and the little microphone.
Awesome. You deserve it.
Yeah.
It was an awesome night. Thanks a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, you were pretty composed, too. And it didn't even seem like, I mean, you did a great job.
He's always composed.
But it didn't even seem like you had anything really too prepared. That's how natural you are. You just kind of, it almost seemed like you were winging it. But how much did you prepare for that?
Well, believe it or not, I prepared a lot, but the Wizards were telling me that the league didn't give you but so many minutes, so don't draw this thing out. So,
right.
Mm-hmm. Under time constraint. But I was just real happy to have my family there, my grandkids, and I had a bunch of friends that I'd grown up with up in the suite, so it was a great, great experience for me.
Yeah.
When did you know you were a pro? Like sophomore year in high school, junior year in high school, what do you think?
Well, no, I didn't know I was a pro until 1971, and it was later on in the season. I was the first couple of games I was flying, you know, I was on cloud nine. But, you know, obviously I started having aspirations when I was in high school. I had a very good sophomore year, and you know, so the dream really kind of began then. And along the way, you have these obstacles that come up, and sometimes you have that voice that questions, am I really going to be able to get there? I don't know, you know. But, you know, it's a goal that you set. It's something that you sometimes it's a blind, you know, it's a blind shot, so to speak, and you don't know. And, you know, I always hear guys say, oh, yeah, I knew this. And I really wonder, because I think there are always those questions in your, you know, in your head, you know, will I get injured? Will this or that happen? So, but you have to have that blind faith to move forward.
Did UCLA offer you a scholarship?
It's funny. Yeah, they did. They started recruiting me in my junior year. Uh-huh. And it was kind of interesting because I had just grown up on Berkeley-Cal basketball. I remember when Daryl Imhoff and that team went to the finals. They won it in 59. They went to the finals in 60s or vice versa. I can't remember. But, you know, I knew all the players on that team. That, to me, was college basketball. When I was young, I'd go up to the football games. I spent a lot of time on campus. So that was what I envisioned of being in college. So even though UCLA was very tempting and very exciting, you know, I thought Cal was building up a program that would end that string of victories of national titles for UCLA. Obviously, that didn't happen, but that was my thinking at the time when I chose Cap.
It all worked out for you. All right, so we've been talking a lot of Caps today, and you know the Caps have the momentum back in that series. Yeah, and they'll play a pivotal game five tomorrow at home. But the Wizards haven't shown much here in the first two games against a really good team. I mean, let's be honest, Toronto's a really good team. They got a really strong home court advantage.
As I keep reminding people, they're the one seed.
They're the one seed. But you know what? If this team has any heart, you know, any desire, any energy, this is the spot right here tonight to take this game and make this thing interesting. What are your thoughts on how they've played, and what are your thoughts about tonight?
Well, isn't it interesting that the question you previously asked me about when did I know going into the pros, it's that blind faith, and that's what the players have to have. You know, they have to say, okay, we're going to get one game at a time. We're back at home. Caps had it the other way around. They lost their first two at home and had to go on the road and get two. So, you know, you just have to have that belief that we prepare for this moment. You know, great things happen, you know, sometimes after adversity. So hopefully these players are putting these last two games behind them, trying to correct their mistakes, but looking forward to get one game tonight and then Sunday turn around and get another one. But they have to make some improvements. They have to make some changes. They have to get some stops, obviously. I mean, I think their offense has been pretty good, especially if you look at the numbers. But defensively, they just have not been able to get enough stops. And any time a team shoots 53% from against you in the playoffs, mind you, playoffs is supposed to be a lot tougher, more physical, you know, harder to get open shots, harder to knock down shots. So it doesn't bode well when a team is shooting over 50% against you in these first two games.
Yeah, that's what it was. I mean, it's just a lot of easy looks. I mean, Toronto was draining threes left and right.
What did they have in the first half? Was it 74?
76, I think.
76, I think it was.
I mean, the score.
Well, they had 44 in the first quarter. 44 in the first quarter.
Right.
And a lot of them were easy looks. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, DeRozan was doing whatever he wanted. Valanciunas was getting bored. They were getting killed on the board. It was an ugly night for them.
Let me ask you this, Phil. What changes can Scott do? I know he's talked about it maybe. Well, JP mentioned it, and I think some even alluded to it maybe yesterday in the media. Maybe move Mike Scott in there. One of my criticisms of Scott, and we have him on every other week, and I love him, great guy, but he always says he's going to make changes, but then I don't see him. I don't actually see changes. I think it's time to maybe actually change something.
Well, I mean, that's a very tough issue to deal with because do you change paddles in the middle of the stream and that's where you are? Mm-hmm. And now maybe what you decide to do is have a shorter leash on some of those bigs, particularly Marchand, who's been struggling.
Right.
And if he starts off the game struggling, go that way. But you got to be very cautious about just making changes and not thinking that you're going to affect maybe if Mike Scott starts, now you don't have him coming off the bench
right. And
giving you that punch that he's given the first two games. He's used to playing with the second unit. So, you know, those are other things to consider. I'm not saying he's not going to do that, but there are a lot of different considerations to make. And sometimes there are changes that can be made that are a little bit more subtle than just, you know, changing the starting lineup.
Right. Hey, I wanted to ask you your sense, and you're around the team, maybe not as much as you had been in the past when you were covering each and every game, but you know the relationships better than we do. What is going on there between John Wall, Bradley Beal, Marcin Gortat? There seems to be something beyond, you know, a great relationship.
Well, these kind of tense moments can bring out the best and the worst. And I didn't see the video. I saw the picture mm-hmm. of where John and Marcin were having, it looked like a conversation. I don't know how heated it was. It could have been just talking about assignments, and Brad was sitting next to him with the towel. So, you know, I don't know exactly what's going on, but obviously, you know, there's some concern there, and the players, I'm sure, have shown that concern. If you win these next two games, then things fall in line a little bit better. You're not thinking about any kind of discourse. You're thinking about, you know, it's being a three-game series. So I tend to try and to look at the side where things can get better. I don't think they have a bad relationship. It certainly didn't seem that way when I was traveling with the team, you know, last year, over the last few years. But I do know that, you know, when times get a little tense, you know, you get a little frazzled sometimes. I mean, I've had that happen in games and situations with teammates myself. You know, you get frazzled, you almost get into fights at practice, but sometimes that works out for the better, you know. And hopefully they come out with that you know, that type of energy, that type of fight that comes out to start the game. Start the game tonight.
Give us your best Bullets fight. You get into it with Kevin Greavy back in the day at practice or something.
Well, I tell you, Dick used to. We would go at it at times, and one thing would lead to another, and Dick would let it get more and more physical. And yeah, I mean, sometimes we'd have to be separated. You know, I remember our third year when we were playing, getting ready for Golden State in the finals. We had to practice, I want to say, at least a full week before we started playing. And so, you know, to try and change things up, Casey was changing the lineups around. And at one point he had me and Kevin Porter going against each other. And then we almost got into a fight. We had to be separated, you know. And, you know, the tension gets so tight that, you know, you're not thinking right sometimes. But like I said, sometimes it prepares you for that game, and that's what I'm hoping, you know, happens tonight. And then you win this game, you win Sunday, and everything will be in the past. You'll be forgetting it. You'll be thinking about that three-game series and how you can close out a win up there in Toronto.
One of the head scratchers for Game Two, Phil, was Bradley. I mean, 3-for-11, not ever really into the game. Didn't get into any rhythm. Very frustrating. Yeah. Defensively, he wasn't good. I mean, I would expect him to come out and have a really good game tonight.
That's what I'm anticipating. You know, I think Bradley Beal is a great player. He's very young, so that greatness is going to show itself in a variety of ways. This is one of those opportunities to show how good he really is. Everybody's had a stinky, funky game like that. You know, you're just out of sync. He picks up two fouls quickly. He never really gets to break a sweat. His mind is racing. He's got to find a way to calm down, get himself under control, do the things that he does best. You know, he averaged almost 30 points in the four games against his team. Now, mind you, John wasn't there, but there were times when he was almost unstoppable. You know, he has to visualize, he has to see this kind of success and forget about these last two games. Like I said, every professional athlete has had one of those games where you're just totally out of sync. There was a play in the fourth quarter. There was a loose ball. He kind of reached for it, but another player actually reacted, took the ball down court. I mean, you know, he just wasn't active. His mind was not as sharp as it needs to be to play in this. It happens. So now, you don't compound the problem by thinking about what happened. Think about what you're going to do, what you're going to correct, how good you're going to be. Visualize. This game at this level is a game of visualization. I remember Magic Johnson used to talk about seeing the game before they even play it. And I think that's what Brad has to do.
Yes, he does. Need to get this one or it's over.
Why do you think he struggled in like late in games?
Well, you know, if I'm Brad, I know there are other games where he's shot the ball well and he's made big buckets. Now, he hasn't hit game winners. So if I'm Brad, I'm looking at it from that perspective that I have played well down the stretch, and I'm not going to allow anybody to plant seeds in my head so that I'm thinking that I can't do this. Again, this is such this game is played from the neck up so much, and it's what state of mind you're in. Throughout the course of the season, I've seen him play, you know, strong fourth quarters. Now, we're talking about some of these last shot, one shot. You know, you make some, you miss some, and you live with that. So I think from his perspective, he's got to relax. He's got to maintain the confidence that made him an all-star this year. He's got to maintain the confidence that made him one of the top players drafted in this class and has him. The other thing about Brad is that his average in the playoffs is higher than his average during the regular season. And I think that says something about how he has performed in playoff basketball. So, you know, that's what he has to rely on. That's what he has to visualize and see himself doing. you know, he's got to put out all this other stuff that he hears, that he sees. Maybe he's not reading the paper or listening to the radio, but he's got to get himself prepared to play the best game that he can possibly play tonight. And he and John will have to lead the way, and we've got to get some role players to do their thing. And they all have to come in knowing that we can't let this team run off 40-something points against us in the first quarter or shoot 54-55%, you know, from the field, or 45% from three. We've got to take some of these things away from these guys.
It's great, Phil Chenier. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you, Phil.
All right, you guys take it easy.
Yep. All right, thanks, Phil. Have a good weekend. Number 45 hanging up there in the rafters. Long overdue.
It's been funny how we spend 85% of the show on, if not more, on the Caps, and we keep Wizards like 5%. We got no faith in them.
Welcome back to the show. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, where you can see our next guest in studio. Longtime friend of the show, yeah, Pablo Francisco.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. He's in town. He's at Arlington Draft House tonight and tomorrow. Go to arlingtondrafthouse.com for all of your ticket information.
Come
what shoes
are
you wearing?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm wearing these. I don't know. These are like, no, they're like.
Those are some LeBron, Jordans of something, right?
Jordan LeBron's kind of stitching, kind of Taiwan, kind of $300 shoe. I guess you buy these at.
Are they the foam posits? They look like something like that.
The foam composites, man. These are like the Charles Barkley's or something in conjunction with, you know, Buck Rogers or something. I don't know.
So you're not really a sneakerhead? You just have nice shoes?
Well, you know, I like those like kind of flashy ones, like the Charles Barkley ones. You can walk in your hotel room and go boom and just catch them right there underneath.
Right.
Underneath there. They got that $5,000 Corvette kind of painting.
Right.
You know,
right.
Kind of blends in when you walk around it and stuff. So it all works out.
Just popped out. They just popped.
Yeah, you know,
I have no idea.
Do you have shoes that you won't wear? They're so nice that you don't want to get them dirty.
Yeah, won't wear, like, you know, whatchamacallit, Walmart shoes. You know, you put those on, hey, they're Fila's, but, you know, I won't wear, you know, elastic hats. You know,
what
hey,
about what, Big Baller Brand?
Big Baller Brand? What is that with the little...
The Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo Ball, LeVar Ball.
Yeah. He played for the Lakers. Oh, yeah, the Lakers, yeah. No, if they look good, but they have to have at least Nike or LeBron James. LeBron James has the best ones, but now they're turning kind of, you know, cheesy, kind of Adidas, kind of looking New Balance, kind of, yeah, sparkly and confetti. Hey, look at that. Hey, so that's kind of...
You're a brand snob. It has to be like Nike or
of course.
Jordan, actually heard, right?
Or LeBron's the best. You know, old shoes look like a space shoe. Even girls pick it up. Wow, it's a cool shoe. You know, it's a good thing. So,
but you usually bring your entourage in.
What happened to all your folks?
Yeah, my entourage, man, they ain't around right now. I'll just be my own entourage.
Get ready, Pumble has to bring his own entourage, starring Mark Wahlberg. Hey, man, huh? You doing good? And John and Ben Diesel, hey, you did get yourself a Corona. I'm trying to get him down. Does it kind of sound like him? Kind of gravelly? Is that okay?
Yeah, Ben Diesel, yeah.
Yeah, Ben, hey, get yourself a Corona. But anyhow.
Yeah, the entourage is back at, I guess it's 420, so they're... Smoking.
Oh, right.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Can't quite make it out.
Yeah, 420.
Yes, I'm a doctor. Doctor 420. Yes, that's what you need. A real doctor says,
take two of these and call me in the morning.
A marijuana doctor says, smoke two of these and forget to call me.
I don't get that. Jeez. I don't know why I'm doing Bill Cosby. Did he roofie himself? I'm going to have me some sex. Here we go.
Have you ever met Bill?
Not met Bill. No, I haven't met him. But
who have you met that blew you away? Like, you're like, man, I idolize you. It just blows me away that I'm meeting you.
You know what it was? Steve Perry.
Steve Perry.
Oh, really?
Who talks like this? Hey, how you doing, man?
Really?
Yeah. He does. Got a high voice.
Yeah, he's kind of like, hey, you know, the E's and the vowels and all those kind of things. Yeah, man.
He talks like music talk all the time. So when I met him, it was like, hey, man, you know, you're a little radical. You know, yeah. You know, how you doing?
Yeah, so.
Journey. They cracked Journey,
man. You know, they got some Indian guy playing for it.
Where did you meet him?
What's that?
I think he's Filipino.
Filipino. He had the long hair, right?
And right.
Then, he's on the payphone at the time.
So he had the 80s mullet still going on?
Yeah, kind of going. He's like, you know, doing that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he goes, man, you're really funny, man. But when he laughs, ha, 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 ha. Right. So it's like a, that and Scott Weiland. Met Scott Weiland.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Was he a cool dude?
Yeah, he talks like he's very like vocal. He has, hey, what's going on?
He had some demons, major demons.
Yes, it was wild, man.
I met him in rehab. We're in rehab together.
Oh,
for a
really?
While. Yeah, and but you can like call over to him. You Scott, come to me, and he huh? So I was like his sponsor, kind of. I don't know, buddy.
You were like his mentor. Yes,
it's his mentor.
You will do the coke. Yeah.
But he was, we were there for a few days, and he was kind of cool. I was like, well, is that guy from Stone Temple Pilots? And like, yeah, very, talks very loud.
Right.
And everyone sang him a song, Welcome to Sierra Tucson. And he goes, I don't think I can handle this.
And off he went.
Is
that true?
Yeah, it's true. He was.
Did you stay in touch with him after?
No, he unfortunately passed.
I understand. But I'm saying,
the rehab didn't work.
The rehab didn't work that too much. But,
so you guys didn't. I mean, there was. I thought you said you were sponsor only while you were there.
Yeah, when I was there, like, you know, they give you a buddy. I go, who's SW? Who's this guy? You know, I look and I see him. In, you know, in the kitchen. Looks at me with his eyes. I was like, hey, what's up? And I go, so how many rehab have you been to? And he goes, 57. And I go, all right, okay, let's rock and roll. Let's go to the clip. Let's see what they're going to sing around the piano bar. All right. But, yeah,
come on down to the draft house.
Try Chartall. It's the draft house.
Oh, man.
It's the night draft tomorrow. House. That's right. I'm Casey Kasem, and it's time for a long-distance dedication. It reads, Dear Casey, my ex-wife was mauled by a bunch of pit bulls. Would you please play Who Let the Dogs Out? It's an old reference. It's kind of old. Okay. It's not hip-hop. It's not the new millennials. Whatever it is.
What was? I'm sure we've asked you before. When you were growing up, right. What was your first impression?
It was, of course, a Kermit the Frog. You know, hey, the Kermit the Frogs. And then it goes down to Boss Guys. I'll tell you. And then it goes into, that's Aaron Neville radio station. But it was a Kermit the Frog. Hey, Tony Montana. Okay, you little frog. All right, you got your stuff. Hey, come on. You got the money? Or you stupid little frog? Come here, you little frog. I got two things, my word and my... Okay, I can't say that on the junkies. But anyhow.
So where'd you go to high school?
I went to high school at Palo Verde. Yeah, Palo Verde High School. And it was...
Sounds fancy. It might not be.
Palo Verde, yes. Palo Verde.
Are you the most famous graduate of that high school?
No, I'm not. It was Gary Shandling.
Big one.
We're just talking about nothing but dead guys.
So it's Arizona. But you were in his spot, too.
Arizona, Tucson,
so
Arizona.
High school, yes. When you were sitting at the lunch table, who were you doing back then?
Back then, it was Kermit the Frog getting laid. Really? Yeah, and then it was that and John Wayne. I gotta tell you, that's all I could do is John Wayne. I gotta tell you, Pilgrim. And that was about it. And that would make fun of Mrs. Fortman, the reading teacher. And
right.
And right. Then after that.
Give us your Mrs. Fortman.
Everybody shut up. You're in blue. You're in green.
I go, oh, geez. Here we go again. her face was kind of awkward, kind of an alien, kind of. Yeah.
Did you have any hot teachers?
I did. Miss Stein was hot, and she was sleeping with my friend. It was
no
incredible.
Way,
yes.
You're lying.
I swear to God.
Teacher sex scandal before it's time.
Let's go to the clip.
Yeah.
But she was sleeping with him, and it was funny because I go, you go to Bobby McGee's and meet her, and he goes, yeah, I have a fake ID. And it was hilarious because he'd give me details, and I kind of knew about the details, so I could bring him up once in a while.
Right.
So I go, how's that German Shepherd? Goes, huh, German Shepherd?
She has a German Shepherd at home.
But that kind of thing. So
how long did that out? Did she ever get in trouble? Did you guys rat her out?
No, we didn't rat her out because my friend was going, man, you got to see what she wants to get down with you. I was like, she wants to get down with me? And but that wouldn't happen because I'm a two-pump chump. So anyhow. And so funny because one time he went there, my friend goes, I wasn't wearing any underwear, right? I was had my shorts on. And he was, while she was talking to me, she started yelling at me. And so I flashed her, and she's like, go. Takes him out in the hallway. What are you doing? Kind of
flash you underneath the table. You know, the desk. Not good. Not good stuff.
Not good stuff.
Not good stuff. Ed? But, yeah.
Can you believe all these stories? Do you follow these stories of teachers that are having sex with their students?
My history teacher was sleeping with banging. Yeah. He was sleeping with a senior, and we got to know each other real well, and we partied at his house every single day until he got busted.
He did get busted.
How old was he?
He was 27. Yeah. And
see,
I was 19,
I think it's when you're in your
18.
20s.
Yeah. It was fun, man. I stole my first pound back then because he was selling marijuana, too. So I stole my first pound. And, he was free enterprise and history. That's what he... Yeah.
Are you good now? Are you clean now? Everything's good?
You know what? I was drinking a while. I fell off stage. I had to go to AA, And then I went to, I fell off the wagon inside the wagon. Then I then I stumbled off the wagon, or was I a wagon when I fell off? Well, I got dragged by the wagon. So right now it's just Coca-Cola and fun and jokes. That's what we're going to do right now. Thank you very much.
Very good.
Thank you.
And, his favorite song is Wagon Wheel.
That's a great song.
Just go to AA, because AA means uh-uh. Is it really anonymous? Because you go in there, it's like, you know, alcohol, you know, booze, anonymous. Quiet. Then you have to stand up there. Hi, my name is Pablo, and I'm a loser. And they hum your name out. Hi, Pablo. Like a bunch of monks.
Yeah.
So we're doing okay.
All right, good.
So you look good. You're good. Yeah, you look healthy.
Look, thanks a lot, man. I've been working out on the treadmill, I guess, but treadmill.
You don't strike me as a big like workout guy, though. Not that you're out of shape. It's just you don't strike me as somebody that cares about that.
Yeah, because when you run, it's boring. Boring.
It's so boring.
Yeah, you got to do some incline. I do some of those. Hit the bag. I have one of those like half a dummy. You know, whatever.
Oh, you do? Like a guy? Like you punch the guy in the face? Thing?
Yeah. So you got to get really dramatic. What's up? What's up? Yeah, you're my girlfriend. That kind of thing. Got to punch that out. But other than that, just push-ups, maybe a little cardio, and that's about it.
Right.
You don't strike me as having a lot of enemies either.
Well, you know, kind of funny. That, you know, I don't have any enemies unless for...
There are people in the business you don't like. Or are you pretty...
No, everyone's absolutely... Everyone's really cool. There was one guy, but he's not in the business anymore. He was taking my jokes, so I had to go, you know...
Oh, really? What'd you do? How'd it go down?
I went on stage and I just go, hey, look, give it up for so and so. He does my act better than I do. and we kind of like, you know, he's, hey man, they always lie first. What are you talking about? Man? Parallel development. I was like, no, it's not. And we got him. So
he's out. He's not doing anything anymore.
He's out.
Is that someone we would know?
No, you wouldn't know.
Okay.
But he was a Latino guy. Latinos, we'll get to get together.
But I never understand that. Like, so if he's stealing like your famous bits.
They'll take it right off the bat right there. One time I said, when I saw him at first, I go, try my stuff in the living room so you get the feel of the comedy, right? Right. And then he decided to do it on stage, and he kept on doing it and doing it.
Oh, so you were like mentoring him.
Yeah, we were like friends kind of, you know, and I said, you know, he was like, you know, really nice when he approached me. Hey, would you do that? Can I, you know, I want to do some comedy. But he really moved up the ladder, but all of a sudden, you know, he started doing that, and then he was going into the clubs doing it. At the time, my girlfriend ran the club. And my manager was, hey, he's doing your stuff. You got to confront him.
All right.
And that's what happened.
Was he doing the voices, too?
No,
just the material?
Just the material. Oh, okay. So it's like,
was he doing the hand thing, too?
No, he wasn't doing that. He wasn't going, you know,
that's mine.
I imagine
that's
two yours. Comics. Fine. Yeah, man, I do that.
You no. own that.
Yeah. It's like,
all right,
two
can
techniques.
You stick around, Pablo?
We can stick around.
All right.
You know, I was just thinking about this. I have no idea if you do. Have you, you're in D.C., do you throw Trump into the mix now?
Trump, sometimes I do, you know, I'm trying to, you know, get him better, it's going to be huge, there you go, huge, just Trump around.
I heard that Stormy Daniels is dancing in Baltimore.
Yeah, she's nearby,
right? We were trying to get her in studio.
Really? Do you know Stormy? Yeah. I mean, you know a lot of porno chicks, right?
I know
you
have. I know a few of them, but I've never slept. Well, I kind of, you know, got in the action a little bit.
Right.
Because when you see the footage, you're like, cut. But Stormy Daniels.
Some of the girls
that
you knew?
Live next door to?
Next door was Ashley Amends. Live next door. Yeah,
I got to Google her.
Right to and Google. I always got to ask her, how do you spell your last name again? But she's actually a cool chick, and she lived there for about maybe 2 weeks.
Ashley Amends, is that her name?
Right. Yeah.
And then there's Felicia Ann, and then there's Venus, who gets a nice basketball. And
what was that on? Felicia Ann?
Felicia Ann with a PH. Still can't spell PHL.
Right. Oh, my God.
But Stormy Daniels, would you check that out?
I
think
get
she's that attractive now.
I keep hearing she looks gross.
She was.
Right? What, Valdez, weren't you telling me that?
She looks like she slammed into the wall a little bit.
Yeah,
she was hitting the head with a doorknob. She's dancing and protesting, but
still has big jugs though.
But you used to have wild, like, didn't you used to have like girls over all the time? Like you had kind of like the party house, right?
Yeah,
the fun house.
It was kind of sort of like that, you know. It was like unexpected. I never like planned it, so it's better if you plan it. But when a girl's at your house and calls her friends over, that's when the party starts happening.
Like, what was the wildest thing? Like, would you have girls like running around like naked in your house?
Okay, well, this is okay. Well, not really. Kind of sort. It all depends what drugs they were on. But
Zoinks, Bonnie.
All right.
Fruity Pebbles. But no, it was like you know, you get home after a show, right? You know, mm-hmm. just kicking back, and that's when the doorbell would ring, and that's the girl that was living with me was calling them over, and they were actually cool girls. They paid.
Yes, come in, yes.
You're in.
But, yeah, there was some naked girls coming in, but sometimes...
Did you get to participate? Did your, was your girlfriend into that kind of thing?
Well, the thing was is that, you know, I had a friend of mine come over. He had to help me out. I was going, can you come over and, you know, help me talk to these girls? Because one of them was just so, you know, whacked out of her mind. He goes, you know what? She speaks three languages. they came in my room. I was going, you know what? I didn't know. I was going, you know, I don't think, do I have to pay for you guys? You know, I was thinking. Because right. I go, I don't want this. I don't know, Bill. Ching, ching.
Right.
They go, no, we just came over to visit her, right? But when I was in my bed, they all came around and we kind of talked and
went down?
Kind of, sort. I said, listen, right now, Mr. can't, you know, couldn't, it was too, you know, you have to prepare.
Oh, a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
He was like, going inside.
Yeah, yeah, he kept on coming out. Maybe. You know, so I go, let's get in the positions, okay? Right. Let's just try that at least.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
simulate.
We did it on the, you know, on the bed. Right. That's kind of wobbly. Right. Kind of like a water bed on a hammock. But on that, and my friend walks in and sees it. Oh, my God, you're doing those positions. Right. And it kind of like screwed his head up. I know that, does that make sense?
Yeah, guys, yeah, yeah.
You want to get that
through
off.
You, yeah.
Yeah. It threw him off, and he kind of got like, oh, Pablo. And it's like, I go, he's
so you're
what?
Basically posing the women like you were in some sort of serial killer movie and not really doing anything with them.
Right,
so
and hopefully
speak.
Mr. You know, okay, we're in it. Okay, let's go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
and
try to get there.
Yeah, but at least I was in it.
Yeah, right.
You know? So, and then, yeah, it was coming out, and then I just go, all right, better.
That's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, what? Yeah, kind of. Let's go to the clip. But anyhow.
So, yeah, it still goes on a little bit, but it's research now.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. For show prep.
Research show prep. And, you know, maybe you have some live webcam. You know, that's kind of fun, you know. Yeah.
Are you into that?
You know, I got a little addicted to it because it's like opening up a Playboy magazine and talking to it. You know what I'm saying?
So, but you're paying a lot of money for that stuff, right?
Yeah, I found that out at the end of the month. But, yeah, that
what was the biggest bill, honestly?
$11,000, okay, but I was research.
Jeez.
I know.
You can write that off.
$11,000. Do you have a money guy? Like, if somebody says, "Pablo, dude, you got what are you doing?"
Yeah, and just like the firm, they call me to the office. What are you doing? And that was. But it's funny when you see like you know like a two
when they say, "Listen, movie. Pablo, man, you got $11,000 in charges to some live video
live
chick.
Jasmine."
Yeah, what are you
Jasmine.
Doing?
Yeah. It's cams all the way.
Yeah, yeah. So, but, are you embarrassed when you have to, when they confront you?
Well, I basically would screen record it, right, and then I would play jokes on them. Like, you know, I act like I have a cigar. And I, you know, have a smoke machine. And I act like I'm falling asleep, and they go, "What?" And I act like, and all the smoke comes up. And they go, "Oh my God!" Like that kind of thing. You know? Or like, you know, the best one is
he's
like
doing bits. Bits with the girls.
Yeah, you have to trick them, right? You
know, right.
So I take my, take a picture of a Ferrari.
Right.
And I cut it out, and I go, "You like my car?"
Right.
Like that. And they go, "Oh my God!" You know,
you're so rich.
No, the best part is when. When there's a couple having sex, and I go, "Hey man, you said you're going to leave him," and then I guess somebody watching that one out of it. It's good stuff.
Oh man!
Or when you're done, you go, "Thanks a lot," and then you put on your mask and jump out the window. it's fun stuff. But you know, so my managers go, "Hey man, can you record it?" And I go, "Yeah, but we have the issue of posting it because their faces, you got to blur out their face."
Yeah, you can't.
And
do
all
that.
And the laugh is in the expression. So.
Do you have a crazy house, like pool and all that? Well, everybody out in LA has pools and that sort of thing.
No, it's 25 square foot, got your jacuzzi in the living room, which now anyone can get because you can go to Walmart and get like a generic one, but I got the plush one. But I guess basically a few weights, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Studio, yeah. A little sound studio. To go in there, shana na 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 na, shana na na na. So it's the crib for all people, and I have to change locks every 6 months. You never know. Yeah, because you never know, little key missing,
right.
Windows open, so you gotta watch out for that.
You have like
stuff.
Security system and all that.
Got a really good security system. Got the face recognition, and don't want to walk around the house naked. ouch. But other than that, it's good.
Do you
good.
Have an Alexa?
No, I'm going to
tell you.
Oh, God, I can't talk to Alexa. I'm going to speak with you.
I run your life.
come on, play Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer.
I will do that. And while you talk to your friends, I'll keep on asking you stuff. Where have you been? You walked 500 steps. And put
it on the dog or something. Okay, 1,000 steps.
Do you have a Fitbit?
Yeah, what's that?
Do you have a Fitbit or something like that that counts your steps?
Oh, God, I can't do that.
Yes, my life is on this watch. Yes. Files. Will you prep it? Go to the doctor. Diabetes.
Why wearing it? I gotta plug it in. I forgot. I
your wife
it.
Will trust you now. Let me look at your watch. Okay. 5,000 steps today. This watch controls me. And yes, my memory's gone to crap. It's all in here. So, no, I won't do that. Alexis, whatever the hell. Kit, Michael, I need you. Come on, Kit.
But, come to the show.
Kit, I need you, pal.
What are you going to do? Mark Wahlberg's in there now. Mark Wahlberg.
Hey, man, you want to play Bon Jovi? Huh? You doing good? You doing good? Welcome. What's up? Whoa, yeah. That's right. Bon Jovi. It really doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. We care if we're broke. We don't care. Living on a prayer. Of course. You need cash. It's going out with a loser guy. Guy probably, sleeps on the couch, man. Who knows?
Meth Who head? Does that movie stuff now that guy passed? Do you get to do a lot of stuff?
The movie voice?
Yeah, I just got signed by Subaru. They do all their commercials. Ooh, so I did.
Nice. Is that real?
Yeah,
really?
So I did. Thank you.
Congrats. Very well done.
It is the... it's the Subaru XV. Oh, is it XV or VX?
I did five of those.
You need the script.
Now they got
so yeah. do you do the movie voice doing Subaru?
Yeah, shooter, sir, do.
Get ready. That's right. Evan wanted a great Subaru.
That kind of thing.
Yeah?
And then he got the other guys. They got this one guy. He whispers, okay, this summer, get ready, Vin Diesel. And then he's just, all right, this ready on FX and Mothers Who Want to Kill on Detective Channel.
Right.
God, my throat's going out already. Could be Michael J. Fox.
Get ready for Kids Who Kill, huh? There you go. On FX. Doc.
Jeez. So what else do you do? You do Subaru? Is that your big one right now?
Got the Subaru down, and now we're...
That's good money, isn't it?
It's Subaru. Very good money. Yeah. We're just going in the studio and go, Subaru. Right.
It's a great skill.
It's, sometimes, though, if you don't really mean the word, for some reason, the guy who's directing you goes, hey, man, you didn't believe in that one word. It's kind of mind thing.
Well, but, Pablo, we always love having you. People should go out and see Pablo this weekend at the Arlington Draft House tonight, and tomorrow you can go to arlingtondrafthouse.com for all of your ticket information. Be sure to come in next time when you're in town.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah,
take care, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.